Going to be looking tonight at the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls of every kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee, for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Sure that the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of His Word. As you read through this chapter, and then in the next chapter or so, you'll find there that there's this flood which was being prophesied or foretold by God Himself as He is speaking to this man Noah. It seems a rather strange thing, because the Bible tells us that the judgment is the strange work of God. It's the work of God nonetheless. God is God is more widely known, perhaps, for his love and his grace and his goodness, perhaps. But nevertheless, God is also a God of wrath and a God of judgment. And this is a truth which needs to be understood. If you'll go back and think that last Lord's Day evening, we were looking at the Garden of Eden and how man was expelled from that very beautiful place and was driven out, and that there has been a way that we saw the cherubim there at the gate of that Garden of Eden, and they were keeping the way to the Tree of Life, or to keep them the way of the Tree of Life, I believe is the language. But anyway, here we find that it's not too long later since that occurred. We don't know how many centuries it took, but as you remember, as we were reading through this passage, we see a tremendous amount of departure from God. And man now, as a result of this, is about to face the judgment of God. Now, of course, you will have those skeptics who come along and they will say, well, now, I just don't believe there was such a thing as a flood. And you have these theologians who will try to explain that the flood may have been a local thing or something to that extent. And they try to get around the simple teaching of the Word of God. I thought it was rather interesting whenever I was teaching in the public schools out in northwest Kansas. The town that we were living in had an elevation of about 2,000 feet, or in excess of 2,000 feet above sea level. 2,000 feet above sea level. The kids from the school would come in quite frequently with shark's teeth. I'd say, well, where did you find them? Well, northwest of town, southwest of someplace, they would have places out in the country around there where they were finding. Now, I ask you, since when did sharks live 2,000 feet above sea level? There they are. They're the fossils of the sharks that were there, 2,000 feet above sea level. Now, I don't know what the topography of the land happened to be when the sharks were there, but there is tremendously strong evidence of the flood covered northwestern Kansas. And so we have there as a scientific statement, actually, that here it is. Here's God's given his testimony to the fact that his word is true. So we don't have to go around and try to be ashamed of the fact that when we pick up the Bible and we talk about the flood which God sent upon the face of the earth, that man is going to be able to somehow to overturn that particular truth. And so we start with the very premise this evening that the Word of God is true and that this is an actual accounting of events which took place on the face of this earth. But what we want to draw your attention to this evening, particularly, will be probably under just a few titles or a few headings. And the first thing that I would point out to you, that at this time, we're talking about the judgment of God, and at this time, judgment was deserved. Judgment is deserved. Look at verse 5 in your Bible and see what the Word of God has to say about the circumstances of life that was upon this earth at the time of the writing of this, or not the time of the writing, but the account, time of this account occurring. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Do you see the all-inclusiveness in that verse? You see how this is sort of a summation of everything that encompasses the whole of the human family that was upon the face of the earth at this particular time. You'll notice that he says that God is looking, and he's talking about the wickedness of man. The wickedness of man was great. And in addition to that, it was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts of it and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now let me ask you something. Can you think of a single thing that you have ever seen on the face of this earth that has been invented by man that man hasn't found a way to sin with? Do you have a thing in your house that you have bought and brought into your house as a gadget or a contraption or a tool or anything at all that you could not possibly think of any way to sin with it, and somebody hasn't? It doesn't make any difference what it is. We have in our countries now, we have various things that are being brought on the scene, and they're being brought on this and being invented, and new processes are being brought into bear in the scientific world. And what is one of the greatest problems that we're faced with is control in regards to those things to keep men from sinning with it. One of the greatest problems. You see what it says here about the people in Noah's day? Every imagination of the heart was only evil continually. It could be written about men and women in the world in which we live today, that man is constantly seeking and he is constantly devising ways in which he can sin with anything that God would bring to or allow him to bring into his environment, it seems. And so there's a constancy of dealing with those kinds of problems in the world. You go down to verse 6, the very next verse, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. You think about that. Here is the God in heaven who is looking down upon this earth, and he is looking at the only creatures on the face of this earth of whom it is said that he made man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Here is the creature that is walking upon the face of this earth that has been created in the image of God. He is the only creature on the face of this earth that has a consciousness of God. There's no other creature except man on the earth. Although we know that the angels in heaven have a consciousness of God. We're talking about the creatures which are here on this earth and those things which you see running around in the fields and swimming in the sea and flying through the air. Man is the only creature here that really has a consciousness of God. Oh, I heard a little girl say, when I go to heaven, if I can't take my horse, I don't want to go. Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Some people think their dogs are going to go with them. And others, they've got all kinds of things which they imagine is going to take place. But the fact of the matter is that dog has no consciousness of God. He doesn't know that there is a heaven to go to. And so we find, though that man is the creature, and God is looking down upon this earth, and he is looking, and it is grieving his heart that he even placed man upon the face of this earth. That is strong language, my friends. Man is so debased and so corrupt and so wicked in his life until God, look at the language there, it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Grieve in the heart of God. Man walking upon this earth, thinking in all of his dignity and thinking with all of his intellect that he is superior to God, that he doesn't believe that there's a day coming that he is going to be, has to reckon with God. My friends, you see, God has the final word in all of our lives. And so we see, looking down again at verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Pick up your daily newspaper in any of the major cities around the world. What do you see on the front page and the second page and throughout the pages? And you listen to the news on any kind of media that you please. What is constantly are you being barraged with before you? This great outstanding person, he shoots somebody. Here's somebody, he gets shot by somebody. Here's something, all kinds of violence in various ways in which it is a constancy of this kind of thing which is taking place. Plenty of streets in your country, it is not safe to walk alone. Plenty of streets in my country that I wouldn't go down alone. Why? Because this world is filled with violence. That is why. And so we have it in this society that Noah was a part of at that time. The very next verse, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh was corrupt, had corrupted his way upon the earth. judgment is deserved. A second thing you'll notice is judgment is declared. Verse 7 tells us, "The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." God has declared judgment is coming. Now, there were some modernists in Noah's day who didn't believe the Bible. Well, you say, well, Noah didn't have a Bible. Well, he had the Word of God. He had the Word of God. And he was preaching the Word of God. Noah, we're told, was a preacher of righteousness. And there were, for 120 years, this man who was preaching to men and women around him. And we see that as far as man's response was concerned, God is saying that I'm going to destroy this world. And Noah understands that God is about to destroy this world. Others hear the message too, and they don't believe it. There are those in this room here tonight who have heard the gospel of the grace of God. They've heard about the judgment, the coming judgment of God, that sinners are going to appear before God and they must give an account of themselves before God. They don't believe it. Some of you right here in this room don't believe it. You think you're going to miss it. You think you're going to somehow circumvent it. There were people sitting in Noah's audience just like you on these memorable evenings. In addition to that, you look down in verse 13, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." How much plainer can God make his word to man? God says, I'm going to destroy man upon the face of this earth because of his rebellion against me, because of his character, because of his behavior, and rebelling against God in this world. God, judgment is deserved. Judgment is declared. But thank God, in some cases, judgment is denied. You look at verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So here's a man to whom judgment was denied. He didn't have to come under the judgment of God. You see, he was denying the judgment of God because he finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, God didn't simply just go out there and arbitrarily say, well, I'm going to give grace to him, not going to offer grace to anybody else. You remember in Hebrews chapter 11, you read there that by faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and built an ark to the saving of his house. Do you see what it says about Noah? By faith Noah, being warned of God, there was the word of God that came to his heart. And he believed the word of God. Let me ask you this evening, do you believe the word of God? The word of God has come to your heart about the judgment of God and that sinners must come into the presence of God and that sinners must face God and give an account of their lives before God. Do you believe God? Noah, by faith, he believed the word of God. And he did something about it. He prepared an ark. He didn't simply say, I hear and I believe. He did. He acted on what he said, what was being said. And there was a response to the degree that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And so here it tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 14, the Lord says to him, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Judgment is deserved. Judgment is declared. But for Noah, judgment is denied. You remember Rahab? Rahab was a woman, you remember, in Jericho. The whole city was under the judgment of God. The children of Israel were marching against the city. And God had told them to go in to destroy that city. Now the people in Jericho have heard about what God is doing for the nation of Israel, how he is destroying the enemies before them. They have heard, and some of them are afraid, and they are fearful of the fact that they're coming to us. The judgment is coming to us, and we can't do a thing about it. But you remember Rahab. The soldiers went and they came to Rahab's house, and two places, I believe it is, in the New Testament, they're called the spies. They're called the spies, and they are also called the messengers of God who came, and she received the spies. She received the messengers. They had a message from God, and she wanted to know what the message was. By the way, Rahab was on the wall, but she had a window in that wall facing away from Jericho. Which way is your window facing? You got a window facing away from this world. And it was through that window that she received salvation. They had told her to put out that scarlet robe, a scarlet cord outside of that, out through that window when the armies come marching against that city. Rahab was delivered. All of the nation of, all of the city of Jericho is destroyed. Rahab is delivered. Why? Because she believed the word of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Judgment is deserved and declared, denied. But here, preparation is demanded, though. You see, down in verse 14, God says to Noah, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. See, there is something that you have to do. Somebody asked the question to a fellow one time, says, what do I have to do in order to go to hell? He says, nothing. Just sit and do nothing. You'll end up there. Don't have to do a thing to get there. What do you have to do in order to get to heaven? You have to trust Christ. You have to trust Christ. That is a positive act on your part. It is a conscious decision which you make in your life. It is a recognition of the fact that there is one that has seen you in your lost condition here upon this earth, and he has come into this world, and he has taken your place on the cross of Calvary, and there he has endured the penalty of sin, the wrath of a sin-hating God, and he has borne in his own body your sins, and you're willing to trust him as your personal Savior. Make thee an ark. Make preparation for the judgment of God. We tried a picture this morning about the man who stands in the presence of God. He comes to the wedding feast with no wedding garment on. And what does he have to say for himself? Sir, why are you here without the wedding garment on? And he's speechless. That's what the Word of God says. He can't say a thing. There's nothing to say. Standing there exposed before God in his sins. Don't you think for a minute that you're going to have any bargaining power when you come into the presence of God without Christ. Bargaining power, absolutely none. Nothing whatsoever. You remember the songwriter says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Is that what you're trusting in this evening? The finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Christ has died for you. Preparation is demanded. The Word of God tells you to flee from the wrath to come. If you look down in verse 16, I believe it is, I was thinking it was verse 16. You see how my mind runs. Well, we see it, and we see in verse, I can't find it, but we see down there where it tells us that Noah goes, I think it's in chapter 7 where it says that the Lord went in, that Noah went in, and the Lord shut him in. It's the Lord that shut him in. You see, he didn't shut himself in there. When the Lord shut him in, now he is safe. And the Lord shuts him in he is shut into that place before the judgment of God is brought to bear upon this circumstances. In verse 17, the Lord is saying, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is in breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." So here now the judgment is being described. The judgment is being described, and in verse 19, you'll find that of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. There's going to be some that is saved. Isn't that a marvelous thing? That even in the midst of the wrath of God, there is the grace of God, there is the preservation of God. They bring some into the ark. Noah comes in with his family, and he brings other animals along with him as well. And here is the testimony of the grace of God that not everything is going to be destroyed. Grace, some are being saved. And what a tremendous privilege it is today when men and women have the privilege of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to be gloriously saved through the shed blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. The judgment of God is deserved. You go to the book of the Revelation, and you'll find there that there are several places in that book. In chapter 6, you read there where there are men who are facing the judgment of God, and they are crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the one that's sitting upon the throne. And you go right on through there, and you'll find in chapter 9, near the end of the chapter, there are those there who are in rebellion against God, and the judgment of God is being poured out upon this earth, one after the other, and it says that they will not repent. Men are not willing to repent to God because of their wickedness, despite the fact that the judgment of God is being brought to bear upon them here in this world in a very physical way. You go down and you continue over chapter 16. It's a continuation of the same idea. But then when you come to Revelation chapter 20, you read there, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And it says that whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they are cast into the lake of fire." Judgment is coming. Judgment is deserved by men and women in the world today. Men who are living in rebellion against God, living such wicked and rebellious lives on the face of this earth. Judgment is declared against men and women. And judgment can be denied by you only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ can say, "There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus." If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're facing the judgment of God. This could very well be the very last time that you will ever hear the gospel, ever hear the word of God, ever hear about the Savior, ever be given the opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in a public way as this. Should you wake up in eternity tomorrow, tonight, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you would have nothing but the judgment of God to be facing you, the judgment of the great white throne. and there you will stand. Without Christ, without God, without hope, facing the judgment of God for all eternity. But the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He allowed the judgment of God to be rained upon Him. In all of its fury, in those 3 hours of darkness when He's hanging on that cross, there the judgment of God was poured out upon Him. And it is on Him that God has placed our sins. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ can say that He died for me. And I died in Him. Is that your testimony tonight? If not, won't you turn to Him tonight? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be gloriously saved. Let us pray. We're thankful, Father, this evening for Thy Word. We realize it is a solemn thing to think of coming into the presence of God without a Savior. Oh, God, we pray that You may speak to each heart this evening who has never trusted the Savior. Anyone here that has never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, we pray that You'll speak to the heart, cause them to realize it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Give help, our God, as Thou alone art able to do, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.